tomorrow. And it's tomorrow, it's Monday, but we don't really know what tomorrow holds. I'm going to dismiss the kids, bless the kids. And the word, yes. So anyway, there's plenty to be worried about tomorrow. Like, I asked a few people, what do you think about when you think about the future? And they said, Hans, I think it's going to get worse. And of course, when you turn on the news, the future doesn't look very promising. So the best thing is to turn off the news. But it tells you that because of the climate change, the whole earth is going to be implode. And it tells you that the war is going to edge towards a nuclear war. And then there's viruses, COVID and whatever else. Plenty to be worried about. But amazingly enough, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. When I was a kid, they told me, Hans, if you get a degree and work hard enough, you can get whatever you want. But that was a lie, because it made me think I was in control of my future. And God had a different idea. How do you remember Abraham? Abraham got a call from God, and he said in Genesis, I forget what. In Genesis it says, you're going to have as many descendants as the sand of the seashore. I will truly bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. So there, he was given a promise. Many descendants, and he didn't have any. He had to wait another 50, 90 years before Charlie came. So he did. He decided to take his future in his own hands. So he laid with Hagar and created an Ishmael. And Ishmael was not God's plan. So Ishmael and Isaac, the son that he finally got with Sarah, became enemies. How many knows that they're still enemies? The fight between the Jews and the Palestinians is come right back to Abraham. It was Abraham's fault because he took the future in his own hands. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, whether Paul, apostle, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. So the present and the future is all yours. So there was a division in the church. So Paul finally says, you know, you don't need to fight with each other, because it's all yours. And he actually, I will summarize the chapter. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God made it grow. So no, you don't need to fight over who does what. You've all been given the job to do. It is to plant and to water and to let God make it grow. Those who have gardens know that what that's like. And then there's the weeding. My wife nods her head. Because it seems like when you water, the weeds come up just as fast. How many knows that God is the one who weeds too? He confronts us, or he exposes our sin. So, I have a suitcase here. And it's not that anybody is moving out, but do you want to take it then for me? So many times we pull a suitcase full of stuff into the future. Just drag it down. It's heavy. And I'm not sure what's in your suitcase, but I can tell you in my suitcase there's some disappointments, some regrets, some offense, people who have hurt me. And it's all in the suitcase. I'm like dragging it with me. And I've seen it over and over and over when people have been hurt and they take it into the marriage and they take it into the relationships, take it into the church. And you see, Jesus came so we can be free of that suitcase. I mean, know that if you confess, if you're willing to forgive, he's willing to forgive you. So the way to empty it is starting forgiving the people who hurt you. And when it comes to guilt and shame, and you ask Jesus to confess your sins, and he's more than willing to forgive you and cleanse you and make you whole. 1 John 1:9. So God is in the business of setting us free from the past. But it sneaks in, Satan sneaks in with lies so easily. You know, I had a stroke. And it's easy enough to have fear and saying, I had a stroke, well, maybe I'm going to get another one. But that's just dragging fear from the past into the future. So, sometimes God changes our future according to his plan. John Newton was a captain of a slave ship, and he was not a Christian, but the ship was going down with all the slaves, and he cried out to God and said, God, if you will save me, I will serve you. And by miracle, he ended up on a piece of wood and got rescued. So then he came on land and he said, I'm going to fulfill my promise. So he wrote Amazing Grace. How many likes the Amazing Grace? How many likes grace? And he's saying, I'm blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. That's his testimony. So he had guilt, a lot of guilt, because he had been a captain of slave ships. And he heard them cry, and he heard them see them go down in the sea and die. And so when he came, so he felt guilty. But together with Wilberforce in England, he started a movement against slavery. And slavery was finally abolished just a week or so after he died. A week or so before he died. But he saw it as his responsibility to fight against evil. Why? Because he had experienced God's grace and he wanted to see God's kingdom go forth. But that's how God works with us too. We have sometimes guilt and God will use it to change us and transform us so we become people of righteousness and justice. So, if you read the Bible, you'll see that it's not a matter of your strength or wisdom. It's a matter of trusting God. Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of it. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto your life. He's basically promising that he will take care of you. See, when I was a kid, or young, I was 20 years old, I said, I can take care of myself. I can do all things in my strength. And he showed me many times, not only once, but time and time again, that I couldn't do it on my own. And the stroke certainly brought that home. I couldn't even get out of bed on my own. So anyway, I will encourage you to let go of whatever is in your suitcase, whatever you dragged from the past. Leave it at the cross. And there's something powerful about trusting God. In Romans 8, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him." I just want to start with the first part of it. There's suffering in this world, there's difficulty, reject, and but it does not compare at all to the glory that's coming. How many knows that you're going to get a new body, right? Brand new body without hip problems. He's going to redeem our bodies. In James chapter 4, it says about planning. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. But what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while, full of time, and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." He's saying, make plans, but invite God in your plans. I've seen so many times people make plans. I'm going to move there and there. And I said, did God send you there? No. They didn't even ask God. And as a consequence, they pay the consequences. Family came apart and they did not have a support system, they did not have a church. And so it's important to invite God into all the decisions you make. I remember, Bob, sorry for picking on you, but I remember you walking into the store downtown, empty. There was a furniture store. And I said, "Bob, what are you going to do here?" And he said, "I don't know, maybe selling clothes to kids." So I said, "Well, let's pray together." So we prayed together. And the next time I came and saw Bob, he said, "I'm going to have a toy store." And honestly, Bob, I laughed. Because I thought, toy store in Maple Creek. I remember Crystal. Sorry, Crystal, for picking on you. I remember when I saw her. She was pregnant the first time I saw her. And she was having a... So we prayed for her. And she got a little boy, Crystal. Colton, sorry. Colt. And so he came with his little cows. I don't know, but I think the cows had something to do with his future. I never seen Colt without cows. So here it is. Remember the scripture in Jeremiah 29:11? I have a plan for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you and give you a future. And God is speaking that to the Jews at a time when they were in captivity and they were downcast and felt in bondage. He says, "I have a plan for you. You may think that you're going to be in bondage forever, but I have a plan for you, and it is to prosper you and give you a future." And see, that is God. He has a plan for you. When I was laying in the hospital bed, I thought I was done with. And God said, "I'm not done with you yet. Get up." Well, I couldn't get up. But then God sent somebody to help me get up. When I came back here, I was in a wheelchair. And I got a knock on the door, and two friends from Medicine Hat came and said, "We're going to teach you how to walk." And without them, I couldn't walk today. not saying that. I'm not saying that you don't have to work, but there's something about living in a future that is planned by God compared to the future that you plan. The apostles had no clue what the future held, had no clue what it meant to be an apostle or a disciple. So then he said to them, go and change the whole world. Now just put yourself in the same boat. I can see them thinking at Tim Hortons, how are we going to do this? How are we going to change the whole world? We're just 12 of us. So he said to them, go and wait in Jerusalem until you get empowered from on high. And that was the beginning of the Pentecostal church. The Holy Spirit came on them and empowered them to do what they were called to do. The same thing, the Holy Spirit has come in this church and upon you to do what God has called you to do. But it's not in your strength, it's in His. But I see so many people with a suitcase full of stuff, and it doesn't help them. It hinders their walk. Some of that stuff is sin, some of that stuff is selfishness, some of that stuff is just unable to forgive. Sometimes it's a loss, and they get confused about where was God in all this. In fact, this morning, I talked to a friend who had lost a loved one, and he said, that person was so good, why did he die from cancer? So I said, well, she's in a much better place. You see, that's the hope we have. Death is not the end, it's just the beginning. We can truly say that death is a promotion. We don't have any idea what that looks like until we get there. I think God kept it that way. But He asked of us to prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus. So now, this is just a training ground for what is to come. And training is how to love, how to forgive, how to embrace the future He has for you. So I want to pray for you. And if you have something in your suitcase that needs to be emptied, I invite you to the altar. I can't empty it for you, but between you and God, you can. So Lord Jesus, I just thank you for everyone coming today. And I just pray blessings upon the church. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be prepared for the coming of Jesus. And we'll be able to let go of the things that has hurt us, the things of the past. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to ask the worship team to come.